Today, answers matter more than ever before. That's why IBM is helping businesses manage customer questions with Watson Assistant. It's conversational AI designed to work for any industry. Let's put smart to work. Visit ibm.com/Watson Assistant.
This is DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg.
Let me bring them in. Field Yates, who kind of started out in the NFL covering the New England Patriots. So, Field, let me start there with you. Who do you envision in the quarterback room when we get to week one of the NFL season for New England?
I expect it to be Jared Stidham and Brian Hoyer, with Jared Stidham as the leader in the clubhouse to be the starting quarterback for the Patriots in 2020. And some of it's economically driven. If you look at the Patriots' cap situation as of this moment, they're at about $1 million in cap space. And people say, how could a team that doesn't have Tom Brady and others have just $1 million in cap space? Well, the reality was, when they gave Tom Brady a raise last year, part of that was including a signing bonus that would prorate onto future years. So they did something in the short term that was going to impact 2020. And they do have a lot of good players on this roster still, especially on defense. So I think the economics are a big part of it, and also the development of Jared Stidham. This team has seen him for a year, and I understand that it's probably not going to be perfect, and it may not even be great. But they believe, going into this season, that they have enough of a view of Jared Stidham, and there are enough developmental traits and desirable traits for him to potentially be at least a short-term and maybe a long-term starter.
Field, I want to ask you about the NFL's upcoming season. It seems like the league has outlined two paths forward, one with the traditional schedule, and you're starting football after Labor Day weekend, first week of the regular season. But then there's another format in which the NFL will start the regular season play in October, and then the Super Bowl would then be played in the last weekend of February. And talking to people around the National Football League, what's the sense you get in terms of what's the most likely path that the NFL is going to elect to take?
You know, it's interesting because while there have been a lot of reports and a lot of ideas thrown around, everybody in football that I've spoken with inside the league, coaches and scouts and people involved with the football operation, have sort of said, hey, I respect the question, but your guess is as good as mine. Mm-hmm. I mean, they're talking about things like, hey, we got kids. We don't know when the kids are going to go back to school. We've got all of these different questions that extend beyond football. And as for football itself, like, it will be great if we could have a full 16-game season. And it's not that people are pessimistic or optimistic, I should say, or either one. They're not pessimistic, nor are they optimistic that things will start on time. They're more, I would say, just kind of putting their hands or sort of shrugging, like Nick Bosa after a sack, and saying, I'm not entirely sure right now. They're more hopeful. And certainly a lot of people in football that I've spoken to have said, hey, it's not just that we want football back, but we want the world to be back to where it was for everybody, and certainly people that have an impact on people's lives that's much different than football's. Essential workers who need to be back in their respective fields.
Absolutely. Field Yates with us here, 98.7 ESPN. So we want the world back. We want football back. We want it all back. We're May on Friday. When do you think we have to know if we're going to be able to start training camps in late July, early August? I mean, we don't have that much time. And I'm not saying the decision has to be made the next 10 days. But you know, at some point in June, I would figure they have to decide if they're going to be able to start the season on time or like we mentioned, push it back to October, right?
You know something? I think it's going to be a little bit less about when we decide on the season, a little bit more about training camps. And so it may be that we extend even to early July before we know, because it's not like, hey, I'm just throwing this out there. I'm not saying it's going to happen, not that I have any knowledge whatsoever. But if we got, not the all clear, but if we got to a point where we felt it was safe for teams to be back together for training camp, it's not like we, hey, 2 weeks later, we just start playing football. Like, it might be a one-month runway, right? I mean, football normally has OTAs and off-season mini camps, and certainly a lot of that is mental work, but still, the physical work is important. Training camp is usually 5 weeks. You've got four preseason games. It might be that we need a month. So I think the key date is really what happens with the start of training camps. And I'd imagine, but if we don't have any clarity by the beginning portion of July, then it's hard for me to envision that we would get things going right on time as scheduled with a late July training camp start.
Phil, you're talking about players doing what they need to do to get ready for the upcoming season. No OTAs, no mini camps, and they're not allowed to go into team facilities. If you look at what's going on in the NBA, the NBA is allowing players, whether they're with the respective team or not, to actually go to facilities in states where they've relaxed the restrictions. Could you envision the NFL doing something like that, offering something like that in states where they have, you know, rolled back some of the ordinances and the precautions for public safety?
Yeah, you know something? I don't think so. I think it's the NFL's mindset's going to be all for one and one for all. And look at some of the recent things that have happened within the NFL. The NFL mandated that every team had to draft remotely, even though there are some states or there are some teams, like the Saints, as we know, were planning to do so, conduct the draft from a brewery that's owned by the Benson family, and that, you know, and safely doing so following all the restrictions. And the NFL said that all teams had to draft remotely. And so I think and with virtual off-season programs, again, the NFL said that, hey, everybody's going to start on the same date, or they have the ability to start on the same date, and nobody can start conducting their off-season program in the facility until all states have given enough clears, or all states in which football is played, which was like 27 states. So I think the NFL will be all for one or one for all. I don't think it'll be a piecemeal start.
Field, couldn't you be in a situation where you're putting players at a greater risk because they are deciding to go to gyms, they are deciding to go to facilities in states where they don't have restrictions in place, and they're at risk because they're exposed to other people in the population that could potentially transmit the virus?
Yeah, that's a fair question. It's something that I've heard. I think NBA general manager, or NFL general managers, heck, NBA general managers, both apply, have some of that thought too, right? I mean, I believe some of the states that apply in the NBA, Florida and Georgia, you know, would it be safe? And I'm just making this as an example. Would it be safer for Trae Young to be in the Hawks practice facility, or would it be safer for him to be at a local, you know, a local Equinox or something? I think the answer would probably be to be inside the practice facility. But I think it's a very slippery slope. I think it's a very unique line for teams to have to balance. And I would just say this is that, when we on the outside are publicly questioning the decision makers and people in positions of leadership, it's important to remember, like, there's no playbook for this stuff, right? So these people are literally figuring this out as it takes place. So, well, I'm not excusing every decision they make. I do understand that it's not as simple as some of the considerations that sometimes we give to it.
Field Yates, NFL insider, joining us here, 98.7 ESPN. All right, so the draft happens this past weekend. Overwhelming success as far as everyone is concerned. Let's look at the local teams here in New York. Your take on where we are with the Giants right now. They went big offensive line. They went big in the secondary. Edge rusher is still obviously somewhat of a concern for this organization. What's your take on the direction the Giants are heading in right now?
Yeah, so every time you have a new head coach or a new GM, it kind of feels like the starting point, not the finishing point. So I like the initial trajectory under Joe Judge. I thought they added players that checked a lot of boxes and were pretty good values. I mean, I thought especially Xavier McKinney. I mean, to get him at, what, 36 was the pick? Is that where it was? I think it was 35 or 36.
36,
yeah. Right there. Yeah, incredible value, right? The guy could have gone at pick 18 and nobody would have batted an eyelash. So great value there. Important need at the very top with Andrew Thomas. Obviously, you know, protecting Daniel Jones is essential. And we'll see what it means for Nate Solder and whether Andrew Thomas could play on the right side. Those questions will be answered at a much later date. But even if the draft was kind of meat and potatoes, that was smart. You kind of needed that, right? It's not like the skill group was an area of concern for the Giants. So I do believe that you're right in saying that the pass rush still feels like the biggest question mark to me. And we'll see what happens with Marcus Golden because, it doesn't seem like he's a long-term part of the puzzle for the Giants. He's their best pass rusher on paper if he returns. 10 sacks last year feels like something they could certainly use.
Field, we talked about how this is a challenging offseason for everybody in the National Football League. We're in unprecedented times. You don't have the opportunity to be in the actual facility working with the players and the coaches. So when you have a first-year head coach and you're introducing him to this type of situation, what do you think the biggest hurdle will be for Joe Judge for 2020 in terms of establishing his program?
You know, probably a value. Well, I think establishing the program, it's probably just, you know, there are things that can be said, and there are things that can be, like, it's not just what you say, it's how you say it. And I think sometimes that can be lost in translation when you're not face-to-face with people, right? It's just harder to have the opportunity to convey your message exactly how you want to convey it when you're doing so over Skype or Zoom or something like that, right? So that probably is the biggest challenge. It's not insurmountable by any stretch for Joe Judge, but it's something to keep an eye on. And it's something that Matt Rhule in Carolina will face. It's something that every other first-year head coach will face. So clearly something that is atypical. We've never had this before. But I think that ultimately for Joe Judge, it wasn't going to be just this year that it took to get the message conveyed. It was going to be a multi-year process.
Do you like the hiring of Joe Judge by the Giants?
I love the hire of Joe Judge by the Giants. And here's what I think. Listen, a couple of things. First of all, he was the Patriots wide receiver coach last year. But if you're looking at the Patriots wide receivers coach and that's the headline for you, you've looked at it wrong. He's been one of the best special teams coaches in football for a long time. Beyond that, special teams is the only coach that basically is involved with everybody on the roster except for the quarterback, the starting quarterback specifically, and the probably top three wide receivers. Everybody else is on some special teams unit in one shape, way, shape, or form. And also, I feel like we always latch on to things like how did a guy perform as a coordinator, et cetera, in previous jobs and use that as a predictor of success. Like, is that really, like, is there a large body of evidence that says, hey, great offensive or defensive coordinators correlate with great head coaches? The answer is no. I think Joe Judge was a smart hire for the Giants.
Field, you talked about Joe Judge not being about just the 2020 season, but about a multi-year process in terms of building the type of culture that leads to sustained winning. But from what John Mara, the owner of the Giants, has been saying all offseason, it doesn't sound like Dave Gettleman has years in terms of his job security. So how do you balance what the head coach is trying to do versus the situation that Dave Gettleman is in? Because John Mara said it on Sunday, the Giants better be a better team than they were the last couple of years. So I just feel like there's competing agendas within the Giants organization. Am I wrong?
The good news is that both guys are going to want to win. So, like, I think it's trickier if, for example, you had a young quarterback that was competing with a veteran quarterback and the veteran gave you a better chance to win. But, you know, if the coach wanted to evaluate the young guy, but the GM felt like they needed to win now, so you got to play the veteran guy, then it gets a little bit tricky. But I think in this case, like, most of the things that Dave Gettleman should want probably align with what Joe Judge will want. I think, you know, realistically, when one person has been hired more recently, that person has more investment in them. So I think most of the quote-unquote decisions that will be made will be more in favor or in line with what Joe Judge needs and wants. So not that there's a power struggle, there's one person who matters more than the other, but I think ultimately the footprint of this team will very much look like what Joe Judge wants.
Field Yates with us here, 98.7 ESPN. So we kind of picked your brain when it comes to the Giants. Let's switch to the Jets. Not a new coach, but a new GM there. Did you like draft one for Joe Douglas?
I really did. And I look at the total off season for Joe Douglas. He said when he got the job, he promised to make Sam Darnold better by surrounding him with better talent. I look and I see about $85 million in total commitments in free agency along the offensive line, arguably the best tackle in the draft, a third round pick as well on the offensive line. The wide receiver group still needs some work, but how are you not smiling if you're Sam Darnold right now with how much better your offense looks on paper? You might have four new starting offensive linemen, and you needed four. And I think that Joe Douglas kind of stayed true to form. The values were all reasonable. He's an offensive line guy, and I thought that, you know, if anybody should be trusted to build an offensive line, Joe Douglas is amongst the top names.
Phil, Mel Kiper said that he would be surprised if the Jets didn't come away with three wide receivers before the draft kicked off this past Thursday. They only took one, Denzel Mims out of Baylor in the second round. Are you a little bit surprised that they didn't add more juice to the wide receiver room?
Not necessarily because of the way the board fell, right? So I think that at the beginning, you had no chance of getting a tackle that was going to be a guaranteed starter at pick 59, I believe it was, where Denzel Mims went.
Correct.
So, you know, you really had to make your investment early, and I thought that Mekhi Becton clearly fit the Jets' needs. So I think that it was smart to, at that point, take an offensive tackle. So, you know, there's probably still a few more opportunities for, like, the last few layers of free agency to add a pass catcher for the Jets. And I would agree with you that it still is a need based off of their depth chart right now.
Does this thing get ugly in Green Bay between Aaron Rodgers and the Packers?
I doubt it. They're really good guys. I mean, it could at some point later on in this trajectory. But, man, maybe, like, I feel like we're even more concerned with just, like, Do we really think Aaron Rodgers is going to go AWOL or something? Like, I think Aaron Rodgers is going to still be a highly competitive, productive, you know, locked-in quarterback. I'm not making nearly as much of a big deal as I think most are at this point.
Field, yesterday the Saints made it official in signing Jameis Winston to be the understudy for Drew Brees for the upcoming season. Do you feel like that was the right decision, right fit for a player in the team?
100%. And Jameis Winston is showing us that he's serious about getting better. I don't think this is a money decision. It certainly isn't a playing time decision. So I would just say that if Jameis Winston is willing to take a one-year, I don't really call it hiatus, but, you know, it's almost like, I don't know, it's like a sabbatical for a year, right? You're not necessarily working full time, but you're having a chance to improve and get much, much better. And I think that Jameis Winston could not have landed in a better spot. The Saints obviously have great teachers of quarterbacks and, you know, just the habits he'll learn from being around Drew Brees. Jameis has never been around a veteran quarterback in his NFL career. He's been the starter since day one in Tampa Bay. And I understand Mike Glennon was there. Mike Glennon was on a rookie contract, and
I don't care.
He was sort of competing with Jameis, right? I mean, at this point, I think that clearly Jameis Winston.
Otherwise, I'll just wrap
is,
up.
Yeah, this is the first time that Jameis has really been in a spot to learn and be tutored.
All right, Field. Listen, we appreciate a couple minutes. Thanks for joining us. Hopefully, the NFL gets started in September, and this will all just be water under the bridge. Good stuff. We'll hopefully talk to you soon.
All right, guys. Take care.
That, of course, is Field Yates, NFL insider, with us here at ESPN. I'm glad, Rick, that you didn't participate in that, because it just gave Chris and I that many more questions to ask the terrific Field Yates.
No, I told you. Listen, I mean, a sign of solidarity. I wasn't gonna be a part of that. You guys did a good job. I mean, if you were striving for mediocrity with the interview, yeah, well done.
Wow, shots fired.
You think that interview was mediocre level?
Well, there are a couple things you could have added. I mean, Field Yates was actually, for the first time I've seen him in a while, he was on Get Up this morning and they asked him fantasy football questions. I would have sprinkled in something like that, like most impactful rookie, you know, and things like that.
Well, you know, I'm not a big fantasy football guy, so that would have been on you and Dave.
Yeah, would have been on you and Dave. You didn't participate, so you know what? You could have. You're welcome to. You're part of the show, probably the most important part of the show, and you said nothing.
Yeah, but I go look at myself in the mirror. Which is not a pretty sight right now with how sunburned I am. But if I'm at a certain point going to walk into the studio and see RJ, I'm going to have to you know just let him know that I'm with him.
Okay.
And well, I hope he sends the message.
Hopefully he feels that connection that you feel with RJ Santillo. I want to remind you can listen to us anywhere. Just click listen live at ESPNNewYork.com. Find 98.7 ESPN on the ESPN app or the TuneIn app, or simply tell your smart speaker, play ESPN New York at 98.7 ESPN New York. We go where you go. So you got kind of a bird's eye view of that conversation between Field, Chris, and I, Rick. What did you have any takeaways from it at all?
Well, here's what bothers me, and this is why I didn't do the interview. I don't know. This is a fun little fact. RJ Santillo's middle name is Yard. So clearly, I mean, there was something going on there. Yard Yates doesn't sound as good as Field Yates.
Wait, hang on a second. RJ Santillo's middle name is Yard?
Is Yard. Yeah.
That's not a name.
Listen, dude, don't.
That's a distance
what
of measurement.
Name
yard is not a name.
Like the yard, like the backyard. They were going to go backyard, but they just went yard. So you see, I mean, you see what I'm talking about? Or just, I mean, Field Yates? Come on. Too similar to me. You can't look like him and then steal his name, too. I don't like
it. Well, apparently he's stolen everything.
Takeaways from...
Like that movie, Single White Female. You ever see
exactly
that movie?
Exactly right. That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah?
Makes me uncomfortable. Couple takeaways. That on paper, the New York Jets are far more talented on the offensive side of the ball. I thought that was a little bit strange. And I disagree with his take on Green Bay, that's going to end well.
Yeah, I do as well. I mean, you're setting that up for trouble. That's what it feels like to me.
Well, no, there's going to be trouble. I mean, if you read the reports, and I'm sure we'll get into it, I mean, it sounds like the first year there was already trouble.
Yeah,
like there
absolutely.
Was. I mean, he wants to run the ball. They want to run the ball. And here's the thing we don't really know, and I'll be interested to see if this starts to leak out a little bit, just to kind of control the narrative for Green Bay because they're taking so much heat, is how many plays Aaron Rodgers actually did change the line of scrimmage. That we don't know about.
Right. But it feels like that's bubbling. And I mean, his poo-pooing of it. I don't know. I just, it seems strange to me. I think this is going to be a big deal. I'm at the point now where I would say it will not end well. And I know it can't end soon because Aaron Rodgers is locked in with Green Bay for at least two more years. But I don't think it's going to end well between these two sides.
Well, that's the part of it where I think Field is trying to, you know, tamper some of the commentary around this situation. I mean, Tony Kornheiser was talking about how Aaron Rodgers should demand a trade. Aaron Rodgers can't go anywhere for the next couple of years because of the financial implications. If they were to try to move him this year, it'd be a $51 million dead cap number. And I mean, the following season, I think the dead money is in the 30s. So he's not going anywhere for a couple of years. So you're talking about having to address this situation in a real way 3 or 4 years from now. And to me, that timeline makes sense. If you're the Green Bay Packers, if you're Matt LaFleur and Brian Gutekunst, it just makes sense to plan for the future, because one thing that Lewis Riddick said around the Packers taking Jordan Love with a first round pick is that the best time to find another quarterback is when you don't need one. Why put yourself in a situation when you're at the mercy of what's coming into the NFL, that current year's draft class, when you can prepare for it years in advance? It's something that the Packers have done in the past. They did it with Brett Favre and Aaron Rodgers. It's something that other organizations have done in the past. You saw it with the 49ers, with Joe Montana and Steve Young. So to try to maintain productive quarterback play and have a handoff from Rodgers to Jordan Love, to me, it makes a lot of sense if you look at it from the long-term perspective.
Yeah, but that's if Jordan Love ends up being a good quarterback. I mean, you were a game away from the Super Bowl. I mean, have you seen the stat? I know you have, Dave. I mean, you're talking about, try to guess how many touchdown passes Aaron Rodgers has thrown to a first-round draft pick.
Touchdown passes in his career?
In his career.
Well, I mean, I guess the question is, how many first-round draft picks have they had at the receiver position?
The answer is one. He's thrown one touchdown pass to a first-round pick.
Yeah, because they haven't given him the appropriate weapons. And has that changed?
Hold on, we're going to sit here and say Aaron Rodgers didn't have weapons? He didn't have players that made plays for him?
Do they now?
No, Dave, I'm just saying, you're saying that throughout the course of his career as a starting quarterback with the Green Bay Packers, he hadn't had any weapons? Is that really what we're saying? Because they're not first-round draft picks, that he didn't have any playmakers?
No, I'm not saying for the entirety of his career.
I was just making sure. Because, I mean, when people throw out that stat about first-round draft picks and the Packers not investing any first-round draft picks in skill position players, I mean, they've put multiple first-round draft picks into the offensive linemen. They've had multiple high picks, second-rounders in receivers and running backs. So it's not like the organization has had some kind of franchise malpractice where they haven't put players in place for Aaron Rodgers to work with. The guy's been in four NFC championship games, so he's had a chance to compete. You don't do that all by yourself.
Yeah, but time out. I mean, you're talking about the last time they spent, the last skill position player they drafted in the first three rounds of the draft was 2015. It was Ty Montgomery. I mean, is it they draft good players, or Aaron Rodgers makes average players look really good when he was in the prime of his career? I mean, one of the greatest we ever saw.
I mean, we'll never have an answer to that. That's a hypothetical that you could never prove. I mean, is Greg Jennings just a product of Aaron Rodgers? Is Jordy Nelson just a product of Aaron Rodgers? Is Davante Adams just a product of Aaron Rodgers? We'll never know that. Is the 2014 season that Eddie Lacy put on, is that just a product of Aaron Rodgers? We'll never be able to prove that. All I'm simply saying is this guy has been in position to be in the playoffs and compete for championships more often than not. I don't understand why people are saying it's an organizational failure just because we don't have the first round pick label attached to any of the skill position players that have hung around in Green Bay.
All right, well, forget about the history of the Packers and Aaron Rodgers. Currently, as they're constituted, they did not do a lot to help him moving forward as far as weapons are concerned offensively.
Okay, Dave, you're saying that they didn't do a lot to help him moving forward, but they're planning on moving forward. They're planning on their future. At some point, you're going to have to live with the reality of life after Aaron Rodgers. When should they start planning for that? He's 36 years old.
Yeah, but Chris, what's the future look like? I mean, if you're going to sit here and tell me that over the next 2 years, Aaron Rodgers can't go anywhere, so what? You tell me, what's the future for the GM and the coach if they can't get along with a quarterback that's definitely going to be here for the next 2 years?
Well, I think they'll be around. I think Matt LaFleur in his first season had a 13-win regular season and went to the NFC Championship game. I think he's going to be there. And their general manager in his first couple of years at the reins has done a solid job in terms of making the moves and trying to retool this roster. They've been more aggressive in free agency. You saw them sign Za'Darius and Preston Smith. That defense has made some strides the last couple of years. So I think their job security is just fine.
Yeah, but they didn't get better. The teams in the NFC got better. San Francisco got better. The Saints got better. The Buccaneers got better. I mean, forget skill position players. You use the first round pick, you trade it up. So you use the first round pick and you gave away a fourth round pick for someone that's not going to see the field for the next 2 years. I mean, correct me if I'm wrong. I mean, how did that defense look against San Francisco in that run game? Pretty good?
No, it was awful.
It looked awful.
I mean, San Francisco only had to throw 8 passes. So, I mean, yeah, the defense.
Okay,
the
so,
defense
I mean, so address
great.
The defense. Okay, so address the defense. If you don't think Aaron Rodgers needs more weapons because he's that good, then at least, then address the other side of the ball. Get yourself to a point where it's not on Aaron Rodgers to carry the team.
Well, I think they're going to move in that direction, but I feel like this was a natural opportunity for them to take a quarterback that they thought had a ton of ability but needed a couple of years to sit and learn. I mean, it's the same situation that Brett Favre was in. Brett Favre took his team to the NFC Championship game in 2007. And what did the Packers do in the first round? They drafted a quarterback.
Yeah, but Brett Favre was talking about retirement. I mean, Brett Favre wouldn't talk about playing until his mid-40s.
Yeah, and Brett Favre also went to another organization and took that team to the NFC Championship game. So, it's one of those things where you talk about a player, oh, he might float out that he's willing to retire. We don't know why Brett Favre was saying what he was saying. But what we do know, based on the information that's coming out on this article and the decision that the Packers made last Thursday night, that it hadn't been all sunshine and roses with the relationship between Aaron Rodgers and Matt LaFleur. So, is this maybe the organization trying to send a message to Aaron Rodgers? Quite possibly, but I think the most important thing to think about is the organization putting someone in place that they think is capable of succeeding Aaron Rodgers, because let's face it, the most important position in team sports is quarterback. And if you don't have one, you're not going to have success in this league.
Yeah, but time out. Here's where we disagree. First of all, I mean, what you want at the quarterback position is some level of certainty. So, I mean, at the time when Brett Favre was going back and forth, he was still a really good quarterback, but he kept going back and forth as to, you know, was he going to keep playing? Was he done? I mean, at some point you needed to address the quarterback position. Aaron Rodgers, at that time, was going to be potentially the first overall pick. Jordan Love was never going to be the first overall pick in this draft. Never.
What I'm saying, Rick, is why put yourself, if you're the Packers, why put yourself at the mercy of whatever the draft is going to have to offer
because,
in the given year that you're picking?
Chris, because you made your bet already. You made your bet already. You just signed him to a 4-year extension. You can't move away from him for 2 more years. So you could hate him, that's fine. But at least over the next 2 years, give yourself every opportunity. And maybe you still draft Jordan Love. But, I mean, there was 36 wide receivers drafted. Maybe draft one wide receiver. I mean, it's almost like you went out of your way not to draft a wide receiver.
Well, listen, I can't tell you why they decided to, you know, not draft a wide receiver with the other picks that they had in the draft. All I can tell you is why I think they took a shot on Jordan Love. Here's a guy that, because he didn't necessarily have the best senior year, may have slipped down a little bit in terms of what teams think he could actually be at the next level. Like, in terms of the overall potential, I think that people would say it's right up there with the guys at the top of this year's draft, but he fell down into the 20s because teams recognize that there are some flaws that need to keep cleaned up. He's got to get better. He's not ready to start immediately. To me, this presents an opportunity for them to have the handoff. I'm sitting there thinking about it. Like, when you're talking about picking a quarterback to succeed the current one that you have, you're at the mercy of whatever is in that year's draft class. And let's face it, with Aaron Rodgers as the quarterback of the Packers, they're not going to be a team that's picking in the top 10. So when are you going to have a chance to get a quarterback that has the kind of talent that Jordan Love brings to the table?
Yeah, but I could make the argument that there are teams in the NFL right now that think they have quarterbacks that are closer than the Green Bay Packers are to having to find a new quarterback. I mean, what's going to happen if Baker Mayfield has a bad season and Cleveland doesn't play well? I mean, they didn't. The new GM and coach didn't draft Baker Mayfield. They could be looking for a quarterback. What's going to happen in Chicago? That Nick Foles is their long-term solution? What's going to happen in Tampa?
Yeah,
Tom Brady's going to play for what, 2 more years?
Yeah, but we have no idea, and I think that you're talking about different things. Like the Cleveland Browns, we don't know what Baker Mayfield is going to be. We don't know what Mitch Trubisky is going to be. We do know what Aaron Rodgers is, and we know what this team was last year, but we also know that Aaron Rodgers can't play forever. He's on the back half of his 30s. I mean, at some point, there is going to be a decline in skill set and performance, and I think this is the Packers putting the pieces in place in order to prepare for life after Aaron Rodgers.
But you're going to go years with Aaron Rodgers, though. Like, you're years.
You hope.
Well, you went years with Brett Favre, Dave. You went years. You went years. So I don't understand how I know people are trying to draw these different distinctions and saying that, well, Brett Favre was talking about retirement. You're trying to parse through some things, but the reality is the organization decided, you know what? At 3 years from when we draft this guy is when we're going to expect him to take over. If you look at how Aaron Rodgers' contract is structured, 3 years from now, you're talking about them being able to part company with him and let a young guy take over, and Aaron Rodgers will be knocking on 40 years old. To me, it makes all the sense in the world. I get it. They were right there. They were at the NFC Championship game. I understand it. But there was not going to be any perfect time in order to make the decision to bring in the next quarterback for the Packers.
Yeah, but let's not act, too. Here's the other thing I disagree with you. I mean, let's not pretend like there isn't an abundance of quarterbacks nowadays. I mean, this isn't a situation where, I mean, even if you built the team for the next 2 years to try to win a Super Bowl, which I think is far more important, even if you hate Aaron Rodgers, you signed him, you can't get rid of him, at least try to win one more Super Bowl before he's gone. I mean, there have been plenty of teams, there have been teams this year that have found good, I mean, adequate replacements until they can address it in the draft. I mean, the last time I checked, Tom Brady's going to be 43, and Tampa's gone all in on trying to win a championship. Aaron Rodgers is 36.
So you're expecting, so because Tom Brady is doing it, Aaron Rodgers is, we're going to assign that he's capable of doing the same exact thing?
I'm going by what he's telling me. He wants to play into his 40s. Drew Brees is playing into his 40s. Tom Brady's playing into his 40s. So, I mean, listen, if I was going to take the calculated risk, do I bet on a proven commodity that I've seen win the championship and be one of the best we've ever seen do it over the next 4 years and try to win a championship? Or do I start planning for the future? I would bet on Aaron Rodgers and give him whatever he needs to try to win me a championship.
Well, I get what you're saying, but the organization has already shown you that that's not how they think. They did the same thing with Brett Favre. They've shown you as an organization, this is who we are. This is what we're going to do.
Well, that, and I don't agree with it. I mean, you're talking about since, I mean, you have arguably, I mean, when did Brett Favre start? When was his career officially started in Green Bay?
What year of
ballpark.
His career?
No, what year was it when he took over with Green Bay?
Oh, I don't know.
Give me a ballpark 90s. How many years it's been.
Yeah. So you have 93, 94, Rick.
Okay, so you have that
right
time
around there, early
till
90s.
Now. So for two more years. You don't think it's a dereliction of duty if you have two of the greatest quarterbacks of all time and you've only won two Super Bowls? Now, that's an embarrassment.
I mean, I don't know how you want me to respond to that.
Because you agree with that. That would be an embarrassment. I mean, I don't know who's to blame for that. Maybe it's because they don't really have a real owner to start. I mean, to tell people, hey, relax. I mean, we still got Aaron Rodgers. Let's try to win a championship here. I mean, this is ridiculous. But, I mean, you had Brett Favre, who never missed a game, and you got one of the greatest talents in the history of the sport, and you've only won two championships? Come on.
Yeah, I mean, you got two Super Bowls in the last, 30 years? I mean, that's what you got the show for, but how many times do you have an opportunity to be in the playoffs? How many times do you have an opportunity to compete at the highest level? A part of this is just making sure you give yourself as many lotto tickets as possible in order to have a chance to hold up the Lombardi Trophy. And having solid quarterback play for the last 30 years has given them a chance to do that. Should they have won more championships? Yeah, you probably think that they would win more championships with two Hall of Fame quarterbacks, but I mean, you still have an opportunity as a franchise to be relevant, and having a good quarterback goes a long ways to doing that, which is why I think they decided that they were going to go that direction this year.
All right, 800-919-3776. Today on ESPN Daily, no bigger star in baseball than Don Mattingly in the 1980s, and that's when a mysterious fact about his birthday appeared on one edition of his baseball card and then disappeared. Solve the mystery on ESPN Daily. Subscribe now wherever you get your podcast. Let's go to Derek in Queens. Derek, you're next up on 98.7 ESPN.
Gentlemen, how are you doing? Huge fan of all
you
guys.
What's up, Derek?
As a Packers fan, it's definitely frustrating to only have two championships with two of the best quarterbacks to play. Honestly, it's always the defense. It wasn't Rodgers letting Kaepernick run all over them in the playoffs, or even last year having the run game. I'm all right with picking Love, but they didn't justify the pick after that. They didn't. I mean, if you want to run the ball, why are you investing more years in Rodgers like they did, and why are you bringing in LaFleur if you want to run the ball? That's the only part I don't get. But thanks for all the podcasts, and I'll listen to you guys. Right.
Yep. Appreciate the phone call, Derek. Chris, you can't deny it was a very strange draft. Whether you like the move up to take the quarterback at 26 or not, what the Packers did is very odd.
I mean, I don't see it as that, but that's how you guys frame it. I don't see it as that.
You don't think they should have taken a receiver in the draft?
Well, listen, Dave, I mean, should they have taken a receiver in the draft? Yeah, I think they probably should have tried to go that route and find a receiver, but maybe they feel good about some of the options that they have, the developmental guys, the younger players on their roster. I can't tell you what their thinking in that regard is, but in terms of what they did the first couple of rounds, I don't have a problem with what the Packers did. They took Jordan Love, and then in the second round, they went and got a running back from Boston College, A.J. Dillon. I mean, you know that the head coach wants to run the football. You saw that down in Tennessee. I mean, that's what he wants the mentality of the team to be. They need to be tougher, clearly. I get some of the decisions that they're making. So I don't think what they're doing in terms of roster construction is odd.
Yeah, see, I disagree. I mean, as your quarterback gets older, I mean, if you think he's in the back half of his career, which he clearly is at 36 years old, you don't surround him with less talent. And, I mean, if you wanted to move up and take the quarterback, I mean, that's your prerogative. But
they have
less
talent than they had last year?
Chris, Devontae Adams played 12 games. He had 83 receptions. The next closest receiver was Alan Lazard with 35, and he played all 16.
Okay.
I mean, the two best players on the team, the best player on their team offensively was their running back. And you went in the second round, you drafted another running back. I mean, what are we talking about? At least fix your defense.
But I'm just saying, is it less talent? I mean, it's at least as equal talent.
It's less.
You didn't get rid of anybody.
What do you mean? You lost Bulaga,
and you replaced him with an upgrade in Ricky Wagner. Ricky Wagner is a better football player than Brian Bulaga today. Yes.
Come on, man. And you drafted a couple offensive linemen in the sixth round. You can't tell me that you go a draft with 36 wide receivers are drafted, and you're happy with what you have.
No, I mean, you just said that they have less talent than they had last year, and I disagree with that.
Tell me how they fixed their defense. They need corners. They lost Blake Martinez. You tell me. I mean, they couldn't use a defensive tackle. I mean, how'd they get better?
I didn't say they got exponentially better. I said they're at least as equally as talented today as they were last year. That was my statement.
Last year wasn't good enough.
Last year they were one of the final four teams. So you're saying it's not good enough. You had an opportunity to compete for a championship.
And you got your doors blown off. Blown off. They rushed for almost 300 yards against you. You got your doors blown off.
Yeah, I mean, you spent
the first and a fourth round pick on a guy who's not going to play for the next 2 years.
Well, I understand what you're saying, a first and a fourth round pick for a guy that's not going to play, but I think that they're thinking about long-term security at the position, and you don't know when Aaron Rodgers' productivity is going to go away. You don't. And so it makes sense now, while you don't need one, while you're not desperate in your evaluation of the college quarterbacks, recognizing that you've moved on from Aaron Rodgers, it made sense to go ahead and make that decision now. That way you get the next guy to be under center for you. You have an opportunity for him to learn the NFL game and to watch one of the best that's ever done it up close and personal. Try to figure it out from that perspective. It's not ideal from the standpoint of, okay, it gives us the best chance to compete with all the other big boys in the NFC in 2020. I'm not arguing that point at all. What I am saying is that the Packers will absolutely be a competitive team. I expect them to be a playoff team. And by the decision that they made last Thursday night, they had the security of knowing 2 or 3 years down the road, when you decide what you're going to do with Aaron Rodgers, whether you're going to try to retain him or move on from him, you've got the opportunity to hand it over to a guy that is talented, amongst one of the most talented quarterbacks in the last couple of years, in Jordan Love.
Yeah, but you know what helps to expedite his productivity not being what it should be, is surrounding him with less weapons. If I would ask you just that.
Listen, here's the thing. And we're talking,
Let me ask you a question first.
Go ahead.
Honest question. In your opinion right now, where we stand, unless something drastically changes, who do you think has a more productive season, Tom Brady or Aaron Rodgers, this upcoming season?
Well, I would lead toward Tom Brady just because of what's around him. But here's the thing, and this is the point I was about to make. Aaron Rodgers signed that contract extension a couple of years ago. He understood what the organization has done over the past decade and a half when he's been the starter. Like, he sees how they operate. He's the one that decided, you know what, I'm going to trust them with years left on my deal. I'm going to sign up for an extension. because I think that this organization is going to put the right pieces around me to allow me to compete. They fired Mike McCarthy and they hired a rookie head coach. And guess what? They were rewarded by going to the NFC Championship game after having consecutive losing seasons. So it's not like the organization is doing all bad by Aaron Rodgers. I just think that sometimes you get in a position as a franchise where you've got to balance being as competitive as you can be for today with what you need to do in terms of making sure that your team is in position to win for the future. All right. I thought you saw that confluence of events on Thursday night, which led to them taking Jordan Love.
DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg, weekdays at 10 on 98.7 ESPN.